This episode is brought to you by, have you ever looked outside of your window at your house, gazed into the forest beyond, and focused on a particular tree? A big tree, a strong tree, a robust tree. Looked at that tree and said, holy fuck. I bet you there's a knot hole big enough for me to stick my cock in.
Big enough.
Hopefully, there's no family of squirrels living in there to chew it off. This episode is brought to you by Lumber. Lumber, giving you wood all day long. This episode is also brought to you by a new podcast, The Red Confessional. Do you want to hear a podcast with naughty, dirty, sexy stories? With some funny stories thrown in there for good measure. The sexual antics, escapades, and adventures of horny people just like you and me. Check out The Red Confessional podcast, available on iTunes and Spotify. This episode is also brought to you by...
I love that you're doing my ads.
Do you like that?
I do.
Do you like my voice?
It's very sexy.
I get the advertiser's voice.
Very alluring. Why are you hissing?
No, it's fun. don't denigrate my self-expression. This episode is brought to you by... Ever thought to yourself at 10:30 at night, holy shit, have I got a sweet tooth? Oh my god, do I ever want to play a sex game? Well, look no further than Club IT,
Intimate
Times in Edmonton, Alberta, because not only can you find a sexy partner to bang with,
oh my god,
you can also find candy. They have sour soothers there. They had cake last night. They also have bags of chips. It's fantastic. I love it. I love sour soothers, and they've got a whole fucking jar of them at Intimate Times. So check out Intimate Times.
I would also like to say that Intimate Times is one of our newest sponsors. And they have very fun themed nights. If you just go on their website, intimatetimes.com, you can also find their link on my Instagram. And Intimate Times has different themes like Voyeur Night, which is my personal favorite. They have things like Glow Night and the Newbie Night, Kink Night. They have all kinds of different nights available for you. And oh my god, I just can't get over your sour soother comment.
They're good. A whole jar. And they have lollipops.
In case you have a lollipop fixation at 10:30 at night, just go to IT.
And
plus, you could get all of this for one simple price of free if you're a newbie and you've never been to Club IT before and you just want a sour soother.
And what do they have to do to get it?
All they have to do to get it, to get into the Club IT for free, if you're a newbie, is mention my podcast. So, you're welcome. That's winning for me, I feel like.
Eat candy.
Have sex.
Intimate Times. Here in Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay, and then last but definitely not least, we have one more ad of Next Step Construction. Next, without the T, construction. They provide you with paving your way to my vagina. They have...
Wouldn't you want a 4x4 to your vagina?
A 4x4? What do they think have, like, to get through, like, trialing times to get to my vagina? Well, you have to put a lot of groundwork in, so I guess you kind
of
do have to 4x4 your way
so
to my vagina.
Either you would have to pave your way, or you'd have to 4x4.
Yes, okay, it's no obvious fact that I'm hard to get a little bit. Anyways, you can... a little bit. You can contact Jason.
Just say the magic word, though.
Say the magic word.
And I'm not telling you what it is.
What magic word is that?
If you would like to guess the magic word to her vagina, feel free to leave her a voicemail on the Anchor app.
Jason's phone number is 587-982-3376. This man can build you a fucking house. This man can...
He's a house builder?
Yeah.
Can you build us a house?
Yes. Hmm. He paints your walls.
Can he get us a dog?
No, he can't. Well, he could probably get us a dog if we asked him.
Could he build a dog house?
I'm pretty sure he could do a lot of things if you just paid the man. Just being honest. He can construct your house. Are you looking to get something upgraded? You know, he is a fair, good pricing. He's also very high quality. If you go to his website, you can find his link on my website, whitechooseone.com. And under the resources tab, you can find his website. Just let him know that you're coming from me. And then that way, you know, he can be like, thanks, Jen. And I can be like, no problem, bud. And that's about it. So anyways, those are my sponsors. Those are my ads. Welcome to this episode and be prepared. We are so excited to have this moment of another awesome BDSM podcast brought to you by me, motherfuckers.
It's an international podcast.
You're an international podcast.
I'm an international man of mystery.
International man of... My fiance is an international man of mystery.
I banged on three continents.
Yeah, you did, you dirty whore. Okay, that's it.
Okay, how about now? Can you hear me?
I can.
Outstanding.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, TGIF. And hey, Anchor didn't block me this time, so that's great. Like, I got my account reinstated.
That's exciting.
Yes, I certainly think so.
Okay, so let's get to it.
All right.
Okay. So hi everyone. Welcome to Why Choose One again. And today we're going to be doing a podcast about BDSM. And so I'll just let my friend here introduce himself.
Yes. Hello. So this is Mr. Wes of Asura's Memoirs. This is officially my first, you have popped my cherry, on podcasting here. So that's kind of cool. Been doing this for 16 years as of 2020, and now I'm married with four beautiful children and still living the BDSM life, and we're poly, and things work out pretty well. And in fact, we have become large fans of your podcast.
Yay! That's so exciting. I do the best that I can.
Very good. Well, yeah. What do you have for me today? Because I'm sure you've got all kinds of tough questions knowing you.
Get ready for it. All right. So fairly straightforward ones to start. How did you even get into this? How did you get into BDSM?
Well, I've got the rather unusual story that almost seems book worthy, which, by the way, there is a book. It's being written as we speak. It's almost done. And ironically, it's called Asura's Memoirs. Who'd have thought? But basically, I was 19 and I thought that I was the shit. And I was a VP of a rather large privately owned company. And we used to go to different kind of events and conferences in the telecommunications industry. And of course, you know, at one of these that I wasn't paying attention to and on my laptop doing things that I probably shouldn't have been, if I remember correctly, I happened to look up because there was this gorgeous woman talking, and her name was Melissa. And I never really thought much about it until we had gotten out of the conference, and she's sitting there at the bar and she's drinking a glass of wine, and I'm watching this woman. And not only is she gorgeous, but she's incredibly, there's like a presence, you know, about her. She's not taking shit from anybody. And everybody's interested in her. And, you know, I am the youngest person there by 20 years. And, you know, so I'm thinking, you know, I'm 19, I'm hot shit. So let's go test it out. So I walk up to her and I say, you know, hey, my name is, and, you know, made up some completely
inexcusably ridiculous reason for going up to her, of which she saw directly through it. And more or less, this 44-year-old woman proceeded to buy me a drink, and one drink led to another drink, which led to a hotel room, which led to a suitcase full of toys that I was very excited that I thought I was going to use on her. And oh, how wrong I was. They were going to be used on me. I had never explored kink to any level like that. And after a non-disclosure agreement, we proceeded to spend the next 3 hours discovering just how much pleasure and pain I could take. And I began off as a submissive. And that lasted for about 6 months. And my next girlfriend thought that I was completely insane because I could do all kinds of things that most people couldn't. And may I remind you that this was, once again, 16 years ago. So there was no 50 Shades of Grey. There was no, this is kind of cool, or we're interested in this. This was the leather community. This was taboo. This was looked down upon. So trying to find somebody else, you know, after this relationship was over, when I now needed this in my life, was very, very challenging. I mean, there was like alt.com, which was about the closest you could get. And, you know, there was, if you were lucky, there were 100 people, you know, within a 3-hour drive of you. And it really changed my life. You know, 16 years later, I look back and go, it's been a whirlwind. So that's kind of the 50,000 foot version of it.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Did she like, so aren't you like breaking the non-disclosure by talking about it or writing a book about it?
Well, that's the beauty, is that, I guess from the very beginning, kind of being a business mind, I understood that there were no-nos. You know, one of the things was, you know, don't out people, you know, don't be malicious. So, you know, of course I'm talking to my accountant and my lawyer one day back, you know, many, many years ago. And, you know, somehow we got on the topic of kink and things like that. I mean, don't ask me why I'm talking to my lawyer about kink, but you know, that's a whole nother podcast probably. But, you know, most of my business associates know I'm a perv. So, you know, I mentioned what I do, and he was like, you know, do you have a non-disclosure, you know, for this? And it's like, well, no, you know, I guess that's a great idea though. So he writes me this custom non-disclosure and this custom consent agreement and, you know, all of these things. And so throughout all the years, everyone that I've been with, who I still know, I still talk to, some of which are married and, you know, things like that. I've stood up in some of their weddings. You know, their names are changed in the books, and, you know, the ones that don't care about having their name or their face or their likeness or anything like that have obviously signed off on that. So I'm very cautious of that. I mean, even in the videos that you see on Pornhub and on my blog, you know, there are releases and, you know, everything like that, because I mean, I wouldn't want to be outed myself like that if that was something I didn't want my family or my coworkers to know. I mean, obviously at this point in my life, it kind of doesn't matter anymore, but, yeah, that's, you know, that discretion is very important to me.
Awesome. So tell me, what is your definition of BDSM?
Well, I think that's been a bit of an evolution. You know, if I go back 16 years, my definition of BDSM would have been anything outside of missionary and doggy style on a bed, you know, and then, you know, 10 years ago, it would have been anything that, you know, could have been deemed as, you know, sensation play and, impact play and things like that. And, you know, as you get more into it, I think it kind of evolves. I mean, you know, the acronym of each one of the letters in that name, really do a poor job of telling the layman, what it really is.
I mean, ultimately, more,
yeah. You know, I mean, I ultimately think that BDSM is really a way of lengthening a sexual experience or an intimate experience, because sometimes it doesn't even have to be sexual, in a way that is not vanilla, in a way that is not normal. It's outside of kind of the normal bedroom activities. And, you know, there's so many different ways. You know, there's the different roles and the different dynamics and the different tools and the different types of play and, you know, everything like that. And I think there's a hell of a lot of people out there that actually practice BDSM and really don't realize it. You know, they don't realize that what they and their partner are doing is impact play, you know, bending their wife over, or bending their husband over, or their lover over, or, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know,
and that's exactly what happened to me, actually. Okay. That's exactly how, like, I was doing all this kinky shit. And then I realized that it all had fucking names for it. Had no idea.
And if I know you, you were trying frantically to discover as much about it as possible once you realized how much you liked it.
Oh, God, it was bad. Like, some people say I had some frenzy. I argue that a little bit because I was still doing things safely. I wasn't a total idiot. But, you know, whatever I could get my hands on, I did it.
That's awesome.
Knowing the risk, right? Like, I wasn't. Like, I was still safe, but...
Well, but yeah. You know what? The risk is what makes it sexy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, but, like, and going to, like, unknown places with unknown people with very little knowledge of what the fuck I was about to do was so exciting.
Yes. Yes, I remember the early years well, and, you know, in some ways, I kind of miss the early years. I mean, as much as I like being able to suspend somebody now, knowing I'm not going to do nerve damage, or, you know, being able to do impact play and knowing right where that line is with someone that I'm intimate with, of where that line of, you know, permanent damage versus bruising versus pink or red that's going to go away in a matter of hours. I do kind of miss the novelty of the first time with each one of these things, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like when I... Like the first time I was caned, I thought it was the most coolest thing in the world. Or even spanking. I had this guy do a spanking demo and I practically came my first time he did it to me. And then now when people spank me, I kind of just laugh.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's different.
Absolutely. You know,
it's absolutely different.
The more I think back on it, I remember the first time that I had someone as a partner with me on a business trip. And, you know, we had been together a long time, so we really didn't think about all the things that could go wrong about taking a BDSM partner with on a business trip where there was a convention and, you know, all of these different things. And, you know, shame on us, but I remember you know, she had the bathing suit on, you know, the little, you know, thong between the butt cheeks, and, you know, seeing her walk out and then realizing that her entire butt cheek was black and blue with marks from a crop. And then she didn't realize it. And I, like, in slow motion horror, I'm looking around at everyone else going, oh no, you know, and, you know, I couldn't get to her fast enough, and somebody else got to her and asked her if she was okay. And she burst out laughing. And, you know, it was kind of an awkward conversation with the business associates, but in hindsight, it kind of helped us understand how to think about these things and talk about these things together with the partners before you go out in public where, you know, marks like that are seen by other people. You know, I mean, shame on us. We were so ignorant to not even think about how we would message that, or how we would talk to people about that, you know, because the last thing you want to do as somebody in the community is allow a layman or somebody who's not in the community to see what's going on and have a negative judgment without at least trying to open their mind to why it's okay and why it's consensual and, you know, why you don't have to, you know, have something mentally wrong with you to be in this community.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I was a waitress at one point when I had started, like, but right before I had started this. And, well, you know, I liked rough sex. And so I went to work and I had handprints on my shoulders just from being gripped so hard. And I thought it was fun. I thought I had a great time. But, you know, when people approach you and they're like, are you being abused? I'm like, no.
Yeah, I love it.
This is a good time. Like, what do you do in your spare time? Must be different than what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so you've been in the BDSM scene for a while. What do you think about the community?
Oh, that is an awesome question. So, I mean, we could literally spend a 9-hour podcast on just that question. So I'll kind of narrow it down and, you know, try to give you a kind of a general response that I think the community is the greatest thing that I have found in my life from a social aspect. I love how protective and how loyal we all are to each other. I mean, as competitive as, you know, submissives are against each other, as competitive as dominants are against each other, and, you know, all of the other various roles are, when someone in the community has been targeted, if a wrong has been done, we really come to that person's aid. And I think that's one of the coolest things, is there's really very few other avenues in life that people will come to your rescue that don't even know you just because they heard something. And that's a really cool aspect. And it's one of the things that I try to show people new to the community. Look, it is a family. And yes, there are always going to be the creepers. There are always going to be, you know, in any social group, there's going to be a couple of people that are just scary, not great people. But you can't judge everyone based on just those couple of people. I mean, I've had stalkers, you know, I've had to get police involved, I've had to get courts involved. You know, when you're doing something for 16 years, shit's going to happen. You know, but you learn how to handle yourself and how to discourage that as time goes on. And all in all, the community has completely changed my life. And I think anyone that is looking to get into it, whether, you know, they're 19 years old and they've always known that, you know, they were a little different, you know, get into it. If you're married, you've had, you know, vanilla life your whole life, and you want to try swinging, you want to try BDSM, you want to, you know, you and your husband want to try, or wife want to try the poly thing, try it. You know, it's, you're never going to know if it's for you unless you try it. And it's a great community. You know, get with people who have been in the community for a while, who are well established, have a good reputation. And, you know, we all love inviting new people into our circles. I mean, at least the people that I know do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a, you know, a lot of listeners that are going to be tuning into this are going to be from my neck of the woods, and the community is just so vastly different from what you just said.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Chicago is, you know, much different. I mean,
It is very similar in some ways. There is some people who are very family orientated, and it's amazing, but it's hard to get into those circles, right?
Yeah.
Like, even I have a really intense or hard time getting into those circles, but I'm kind of a weirdo, so.
We tend to like weirdos, though, you know? I mean, in some ways, the weirder you are, the more we like you, you know?
That is so true. Okay. So is there any advice you could give to people who are just starting out?
Absolutely. The advice that I give people, let me rephrase that. The best and first advice that I always give to people that are looking to get involved is, one, set yourself up in a way so that if you don't like it, you can drop it like it's hot, have it go away, and never have to deal with anything associated with it. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you first get into it, create yourself a new name, create yourself a little pseudonym, you know, a name you've always liked, you know, pick a random last name, create yourself an email address, you know, give yourself some cover. And then, you know, at that point, whether you're doing something on, you know, BDSMLR, or you're doing FetLife or Pornhub, or, you know, I mean, there are so many networks out there, but whatever you're doing, you know, give yourself a cover and, you know, explore, you know, create usernames, create accounts on all of these different networks and see what's out there. I mean, the first thing is kind of soaking in the world. I mean, there's going to be a ton of shock value at first, but I'm going to tell you, that's some of the best, you know, shock value you'll ever get. I mean, it's something you'll never forget, whether you stay in the lifestyle or not. You will always have some very memorable experiences, you know, in that first 30 days of exploring a lifestyle. And, you know, to my previous advice, after you've done that, kind of try to attach yourself, even if it's digitally attaching yourself, you know, send a message to somebody that looks like they've got their shit together. They look like they've been doing this for a while, you know, and just say, hey, I'm new to this. You know, can you give me some advice? You know, can you suggest some people that I should reach out to and talk to? Can you suggest some podcasts? You know, ask those people for advice, because the problem is, as much as I would love to give you advice right now, unless you're in the Chicago, you know, scene, it's very difficult for me to give you advice, because, you know, Portland is going to have a totally different subset of people, totally different societal norms within that community than Chicago does. And, you know, I don't want to give you advice. You're like, oh, that guy from A Service Matters gave me terrible advice on that girl's podcast, you know. But what I would tell you is, protect yourself, first and foremost, and then find reputable people to help get you further into it.
That's really good advice. That's actually quite wonderful. I like that. Tell me about how you really practice your BDSM. Like, how do you do it?
Well, I like to cause pain, but I like to cause pain less because I'm a sadist, although there's definitely some sadistic qualities to me, although I find my sadistic qualities to be more mental, more psychological. But for me, I like the concept of taking someone, whether they have previous experience or not, and assessing what level they come in at. So, you know, they've had a really bad day. So on the scale, you know, they're at kind of a -2 out of a +10 to 0 to -10, you know, being the scale. And, you know, they're at a -10. I'm like, okay, you know, let's put them in a little better of a mood. Let's bring them up to a +2, +3. You know, let's get them in the mood, and then let's bring them down to, you know, 3, 4, 5, slowly, sensually bringing them down, you know, causing that a little bit of excitement and a little bit of pain and a little bit of edging and things like that. And let's see how they respond, you know, because in the very beginning of doing this, everything was scripted. Everything was, you know, outlines and bullet points. And, you know, I was checking my phone and checking documents that I had created to make sure I was going where I was, you know, and eventually, you know, you get to the point where it's like, what the hell am I doing? You know, this isn't a science project. This is a relationship. This is intimacy between two people. And eventually you get to the point where you work through that scene in your head and you kind of have all the different outlets of what that scene could feature. And as that person begins to kind of react to the things that you're doing, you're flowing with them. You know, I mean, if the person was in this great, calm, you know, subspace of pleasure and intimacy and kissing, and all of a sudden you grab a cattle prod and, you know, you affix it to their clit. I mean, that person's going to look at you like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, but, you know, if it's introduced in a more calm and smooth manner where, you know, first, you know, you're biting the nipples and, you know, then you're going down and you're being playful by nibbling on, you know, the vulva, you know, and if you're kind of working into it, that makes sense, you know. But I think one of the things for me about BDSM that I've developed and grown into is flowing with it, is working with that person and feeding off of their desires and, you know, their visual cues, their mannerisms, their moans. You know, it's, I mean, as much as we like to say, oh, we're the dominants, you know what we are, but at the same time, in my opinion, a good dominant recognizes the cues from their partner. And, you know, at the end of the day, we know whether that person really, really loves pain and that's what they're there for. If they're really there because they love being edged or they love having forced orgasms one after another, you know, and you learn those things about that person. And that's what you really want to give them. You don't, you know, if they truly hate something and you're just constantly giving that to them, that doesn't sound great, you know?
Oh my God, this is so good. Legit. Like, I have been that girl where it's just like this constant, like, oh, you must love pain. So I'm just going to consistently give you pain and there's no pleasure in that.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, let's go back for a minute to when I was a submissive. I had every shape, length, and girth toy inserted into me, you know, as a presently straight, you know, side guy. And I mean, I got to tell you, if that had just been like, hey, this is what's going to happen, put some lube on that and hand it back to me. And then, you know, boom, right in, you know, that's just going to hurt. There's nothing positive about that, at least for me. I'm not going to like that, you know, but if you work me a little bit, if you give me a little bit of pleasure and then take it away and you start associating, if I get this thing in, I can get more pleasure. And, you know, you turn me into your whore. You know, that's going to get me. That's going to get me excited. That's going to want me to get me to take that thing. And I have to relate that experience back to being a submissive when I look at my submissives. You know, the last thing I'm going to do is shove something in that person that I know is going to cause pain without there being some pleasure associated with it. You know, this is supposed to be psychological, not just physical. It's supposed to be intimate. So, you know, again, for me, it's all about those cues and feeling that person out and a ton of talk and negotiation and getting to know each other before you ever play. I mean, I'm not disparaging pickup play. It's just not for me, you know, not really. I mean, I don't care for it all that much because I want a deeper relationship with that person. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody from FET, you know, who wants to play. And it's like, you know, I don't do pickup play or, you know, I'm asking too many questions. I want to get to know that person. I'm like, I just want to fuck. And I'm like, yeah, hey, that's great. I respect that, but that's not for me. You know, I mean, thanks. I appreciate that, you know, but I'm honored, but you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You're barking up the wrong tree.
Well, there's so much ground earth that has to be put into a submissive that you're playing with or scening with, because you have to know so many little details in order to successfully even play.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Right.
So it's like a one-time let's fuck. That's not how this shit works.
Well, you know, a perfect example of that was one of my favorite videos, which probably is not one of everybody else's favorite videos on my Pornhub channel, is I have Rose and she's on her back and she's on a couple of ottomans and I've got her in a Futamomo tie and a box tie and she's blindfolded and I'm running a Wartenberg wheel across her. And we had okayed that. That had been talked about and everything else. But one thing we hadn't talked about, and it just never came up, was that she is deathly afraid of knives. And I never knew that. I mean, we had just never gone to that point where like, hey, what are you afraid of? Oh, then I'm afraid of heights. What are you afraid of? Knives. You know, that just never came up. And so I'm using this Wartenberg wheel on her, and you can see it in the video where, you know, she starts crying and her breath is hitching and everything else. And I literally, we both kind of break character and it's like, honey, what's going on? You know, and she's like, why are you cutting me? You know, and I'm like, honey, I'm not cutting you. So, you know, I pull the blindfold off of her and I show her and I let her feel it with her finger. And now she gets more upset because she's embarrassed. And to me, one of the reasons that's such a beautiful video to me is it shows the reality behind how scenes really go. I mean, as much as we love to believe that every scene goes perfectly like a kink.com scene, and don't get me wrong, I fucking love kink.com. But but these are fucking professionals who have rehearsed this, you know, and these people, this is their business. You know, this isn't my business. I don't make money off this. I don't want to make money off this. This is my hobby. This is my life. This is my lifestyle. So, you know, watching that intimate moment captured on video that was never intended to be captured on video and listening to our voices and hearing her breath hitch and, you know, the prickly skin and the hair on the back of her neck that stood up when she got scared. And, you know, that's what's so amazing. So I kind of go back to the initial question you asked is, you know, how do you practice BDSM? For me, practicing BDSM is that amazing connection between two people who want more from life, who want more from sex. They want an intimate connection with one person or more than one person if they're poly, that just can't be replaced in any other way. I mean, I've said it for years and I'll say it again. Nothing is more intimate than the intimacy of BDSM.
Oh my God. Yes. Literally, my fiance and I have this beautiful, like, daddy baby girl dynamic, and it is so intimate. You know, there's like points in our relationship that are like things that are sacred that we do that are like, you know, they blow my fucking mind, you know, and I could never experience that with anyone else that I like, because this dynamic is so, I don't know, to me, it's rare between him and I. So it's just so intimate and so beautiful. And that's exactly how BDSM should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if somebody would have told me 16 years ago that 16 years later, I would be so in love with some of my partners that when they were squirting, I would be pissed if I didn't get every drop of their squirt in my mouth, I would have looked at you like you were fucking nuts. And, you know, now 16 years later, I'm like, yeah, it's fucking hot. That's what I want.
You know? Isn't it ironic or crazy how like our tastes change?
Absolutely.
Like even from when I first started BDSM to now, like I used to be this huge pain whore, and now I'm like, I'm more interested in like you said, like the psychological, like giving an order, or you know, like a little mind fuckery, or that gets my body more like the the idea of fear is more intense than the actual pain.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the reasons that I love the written erotica in BDSM so much. It's one of the reasons that I've spent so much of the 16 years writing like a fiend. After every scene, you know, if I can't write after the scene, I'll go to my phone, hit the record button on a little audio recorder, and I'll just start verbally dumping everything that I can remember from the scene, because I know that I'm going to come back to those pictures or that video or that audio that was recorded. And I want to be able to associate with that what was going on in my mind. And it became one of those things where eventually I realized I was being a greedy asshole about it. And I was, you know, verbally dumping all of this stuff myself, but I wasn't looking at my partner afterwards and be like, hey, I really want you to do yourself and me a favor, whether it's written or whether it's just a verbal audio dump to a recorded file. I want you to recollect everything you can remember and say it or write it. Because you're going to look back on this and you're going to be so happy that you did, because you're going to remember details right now that you're going to look back at and be like, wow, man, I would never have remembered that stuff if I hadn't written it down. And then when you go back and you write the erotica based on those scenes or the captions for your, you know, your GIFs or, you know, whatever, it makes it really easy to make it real. I mean, I can't tell you how many people throughout the years have said, God, I love your captions. You're so good with words. No, I'm fucking not. I'm not great with words at all. I cheat and I record it and I make sure that I get everything. And then all I have to do is just go back and type it out and make sure my punctuation isn't that of a first grader, you know? So, you know, that's the secret. And, you know, someday I'm going to look back on this. I hope that's the purpose, is to look back on this and be like, God, what an amazing life all of us had together. What a bond we all had together. What an amazing community. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to eventually share this with my children or not, or whether they'll find out or they'll ask about it. I have no idea how that's going to go. But, you know, I'd love to someday, when my children are old enough, be like, by the way, there's this book. Daddy wrote it. But now that you're 30 years old, I think maybe you won't judge me. So go read it. You know,
I love it. So good. Okay. All right. So I actually wanted to ask one more question, and it's one that I didn't tell you I was going to ask you.
I'm okay with that.
All right. So it's kind of interesting. Are you ready for it? Drum roll, please. What gets you off about being a dominant?
Oh, God. You did save the best for last.
I appreciate
the finale.
I want everybody flicking their beans when they're done this.
Oh, gosh, yes. I'm going to be hard. You're going to be wet. And the audience is going to have their mouth dropping open. So,
right.
Okay. So much to cover in so little time. I think to some degree, as much as I like to call myself, you know, a dominant, or as much as I belong to that role, I think I'm equally primal, because there are certain things about, in my case, a woman, that drive me crazy. And I mean, it has nothing to do with rope or bondage or hair color or skin color or anything like that. For me, there are certain areas of a female's body that absolutely drive me crazy, even if every sense of my body was removed in a sensory deprivation type way, with the exception of my olfactory senses. So all I can do is smell. But there is something that when my face goes in between a woman's cheeks or in between her thighs, that I lose being the, you know, proper suit wearing, cigar, you know, holding, you know, traveling businessman. And I just become an animal. It's like it totally changes who I am. It totally changes my brain function, you know, and I just, it's like a switch gets flipped. And the only thing in all the years that I've come to the conclusion of is that for me, it's it's those chemicals, you know, it's those pheromones. It's that chemical connection between two people. And, you know, people throughout the years have always asked, you know, are you gay? Are you bi? How do you know you're not one of those things? I know because when I'm with a man and I have experimented, you know, in my past, you know, with men, I don't get that same thing that drives me crazy the way that it drives me crazy with a woman. Now, I'm fully aware that there are those that have the opposite experience or the combined experience. It's just, for me, those particular smells and scents and chemicals drive me crazy. So now that I've beat that like a dead horse, we can kind of introduce that into the rest of things. So for me, you'll notice I do a lot of anal. I do a lot of ass eating. I do a lot of cunnilingus. You know, I do a lot of genital clamps, butt plugs, you know, things like that. Because for me, those are my pleasure centers. But I've also tried to make my pleasure centers things that I'm adept at enough to make them pleasure centers for that person, whether they have previously been pleasure centers for them or not. And it's one of the reasons that limits and frankly, consent are so incredibly important, because I never want to be in a scene, if I can help it, where one person goes, I really hate that. Stop doing that. You know, uses the soft safe word stop, or, you know, the full safe word, or, you know, and because as much as that's necessary, I think a lot of that can kind of be worked through beforehand through really thorough communication. I mean, if somebody tells me, look, don't go near my ass, don't touch my ass, don't lick my ass, don't put anything in it, don't look at it, respectfully, you probably should go elsewhere, because that is what I'm going to want. You know, I'm going to want to go near that with everything that I have. I mean, I've never used my feet in that department, but I'll tell you what, it's not out of the equation. So to kind of answer that question, for me, it's about that chemical connection. And I absolutely love turning a strong, independent person that doesn't need me for validation in any conceivable way into a dripping little whore-filled mess on the floor who just is begging for me to touch them, and then slowly touching them and dragging it out, and then getting them to the point where they are just begging to come, and then finally giving them what they want after dragging it out for so long and torturing them. And then instead of just giving one to them and letting them lay there, you know, and kind of soak in that euphoric, you know, post-scene subspace, fuck that. Let's keep going. Let's give you one, two, three, four. Let's do it until the hotel is going to have to replace the fucking mattress. You know, and, you know, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, as long as there's consent, there doesn't need to be limits to, you know, okay, well, you know, the man's expected to have one orgasm, and, you know, the girl's not going to be happy unless she has three. Fuck the social norms, okay? That's what this is all about. We're not concerned about what society thinks about here. If she can handle more, if she wants more, fucking give it to her. If the guy can come more than once, do it. If the guy doesn't want to come, it's not your fault. You know, we have to do what makes us happy and what we've agreed on. And to a large extent, you see so many people, even within the BDSM community, that are so concerned about what the latest, you know, standard in Cosmopolitan is. Fuck Cosmopolitan. Fuck the standards. Fuck the social norms. Get down to talking to your partner and figuring out what it is that you two want. And without lengthy conversations about each other's likes and dislikes and limits and consent and, you know, things like that, that's not going to happen.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Everything about what you said is just so good. Like, I can't even, I'm just like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yes, you know that? I mean, in all the years, you know, I think it's been like 2 years or 3 years that we've known each other, I don't think I've ever actually complimented how sexy your fucking voice is.
Yeah, see what I do? My crazy voice, it's even better.
you're blushing, like, over there now.
No, I'm not. It's when I'm coming at them with a cane and I'm like, you know, that's the sexy voice.
I like it.
Okay, well, that's that's the episode.
Outstanding. Well, thank you that's for popping it. My cherry. I appreciate that. There's not many cherries I have left to pop, so kudos to you.
Oh, you never know what's going to happen in the future. Dun, dun, dun.
True story. And you know what? all the best wishes to you and your podcast and you and your significant other.
Thank you so much. Right back to yours.
All right, babe. Talk soon, huh?
Bye.
Bye-bye.